at last must have been the cry from all those who had gathered in Jerusalem. They had gathered anyway, as they would have done, because year on year, the Jewish people from certainly what we would now call the Middle East, but the known world, who knows quite how far that particular net would cast, they would gather in Jerusalem, their holy city, in order that they might celebrate their festivals, but this one in particular, the festival of Passover. And here we have Jesus entering Jerusalem on the donkey, and at last, at least for some people, must have been the cry, the King has arrived. Now, in any by any stretch, this was a celebration anyway. As I've said, people had already travelled, they'd already gathered, and they were anticipating a celebration that they would have been familiar with, in the same way we prepare for our festivities and things that we know are going to be in the calendar. We prepare and we enjoy, and that's exactly the spirit that all these crowds would have gathered in. But you know, there's always with this particular reading, this particular Sunday, there's always that hint of darkness. Partly because we know the story. We're reading backwards into the events. We know that we've got, in only a few days' time, we've got the horror of Good Friday. We've got the silence of Holy Saturday before we can get to the joy of the resurrection on Sunday. So we know that there's celebration still to be had. But you and I who know the Christian gospel know the story, that we've got a little bit of powerful emotions coming up over the next few days. So when we hear this story, we are not hearing it for the first time. But of course, that was also true for the gospel writers when they put pen to paper. And it's really interesting that all of the gospel writers mark this event. It's not left out. It clearly was an event of momentous significance. Matthew goes into greater detail. Why? Well, because he's a Jewish writer writing to a Jewish community. So he can go in at great detail. This donkey wasn't just a side act. This was a fulfillment of prophecy. It wasn't a bit of PR. This was a necessary event. It was a sign and symbol, yes, that fulfilled what Zechariah had prophesied all those years ago. Yes, it fulfilled, but it also signified, this is it. We understand how the Messiah is going to come in, and literally before your own eyes, this rather odd scene of a man on a donkey, the antithesis of power and might, coming into Jerusalem. It's fulfilled and it's declared before you. This is the event. John writes ever so slightly differently. He's writing to a different audience. Luke, the same. Mark, where we read from this morning, as only Mark seems to be able to do, there's no superfluous language. He just gets to the point of what happened. But again, as only Mark seems to be able to do, he is able to wrap up, and it's maybe not the best way to say it, but the glory and the gory. Mark doesn't let us escape the fact that this is one and the same at the same time. And we had read for us that powerful section from his gospel, where Jesus, in fulfillment of the prophecy, tells his disciples, go and you'll find this donkey. Tell the master, tell the one who owns it, that I have need of it if anybody questions you, and you'll get it. And all things like that come to pass. So we have this prophecy fulfilled. But we have the crowd. You cannot ignore the crowd. How many, I wonder, had their Sunday school brain on? Do you know what that is? That's where somebody says something and you remember it from days gone by. Oh yeah, I remember that one. I'm pretty confident that the Jewish contingent in this crowd weren't walking about quoting Zechariah left, right and centre. But it is a powerful image. It is a rather strange image. I wonder if one or two, maybe 10, maybe 20, I don't know. Some of them must have seen this and thought, this isn't insignificant. This is from our book. We've heard about this in the synagogue when we're told about when the Messiah comes. This is one of the signs that he'll come into Jerusalem on a donkey. How many of them didn't have a clue what was happening? But their excitement was no less. Why? Because they were an oppressed people. They were an occupied people. Yes, they had the freedom to worship. Yes, they had the freedom to practice their faith. But it was a freedom that came at a cost. They knew they weren't in charge. They were reminded on a daily basis that their power could be taken away, their freedoms could be taken away at the drop of a hat. As this event was taking place, the blood was still fresh on the ground from Jewish martyrs who had been killed by the Roman soldiers in the temple. They knew fine well that their freedom was free-ish. And so this sign must have been something that maybe they couldn't quote chapter and verse of Zechariah, but the fact that somebody was making a statement, somebody was coming into their city that could overthrow the powers that be, that would then be a homecoming perhaps, would then be a re-establishment perhaps, a revolution perhaps, where these damned Roman soldiers could get back to wherever they came from and would never see them again. These aren't unintelligible desires. If I had been there, I probably would have felt the same. Thank goodness, at last, we won't have to put up with this oppression. But had that been the only reason Jesus was arriving, how short-lived would that have been? I'm not being pessimistic, please believe me. Had Jesus come, kicked the Romans out, and given everybody what they wanted, well, there's other armies that could come in. There's other nations that will happily come in and take control. What Jesus came to fulfill was something greater than either those who, for whom the penny had dropped, those for whom had just been caught up in the excitement, those for whom were standing there wishing they were somewhere else. Jesus' arrival here had a greater significance than any one of them could have realized. So we have a prophecy fulfilled. We have a crowd with mixed expectations. Notice they're not unwilling. They take their coats off and they put it down. There's no need to take their coats off. It's not like the donkey's going to stumble. They're not worried that it's going to get dusty hooves. There's no actual physical need to put coats down or branches down. It's all ceremony. They're buying into it. They're putting their weight behind this. Go on, Jesus. We've got faith in you. But how powerful the silence that comes from Jesus. Remember in Mark's Gospel, friends, Jesus is no visiting guru. He's preached to the crowds. He's unashamedly spoken to the masses. He has healed. He has fed. Jesus can do crowd control pretty well, we could say. But here he says not a word. Because he knows, and I'm quoting Churchill, and I know I quote Churchill quite a lot here, this isn't the beginning of the end, it's the end of the beginning. It's exactly like the Transfiguration Sunday. This journey, this is just one stage. Because he knows that in the week to come, there will be a greater battle to fight. And most of those who are shouting in his support will either not be seen or not be heard. Even those closest to him, his disciples, his followers, Peter, John, James, they won't be there. They're not celebrating on Good Friday. They're confused, they're scared, they're all these things, and we'll approach that when Good Friday comes. But at this point, Mark skillfully articulates the glory and the gory. Jesus, we hear at the end of this reading, not only sums up the prophetic fulfillment of Zechariah in the entrance on the donkey, he also encapsulates what Isaiah put forward as to what the Messiah will look like, act like, be like. Mark leaves us almost with an anticlimax. Jesus rides in, he gets off the donkey, and he wanders into the temple. But notice, Mark, we might miss it, Mark doesn't. He doesn't go fully into the temple. He's not able to. He's not welcome. But he does go into the outside temple. And he looks around. There's no speech. There's no miracles. There's no confrontation even. Just observation. And in the same silence in that he arrived, he departs with his disciples to Bethany. Bethany, a place that we know from the scriptures, was quite a run-down place, a place where the poor gathered, where the ill gathered, where those who didn't feel they were the right sort of person to be in Jerusalem at that time. Jesus went there, probably felt comfortable amongst his own. So we have this public statement made, and it very much is so. Jesus is allowing not only his disciples, but at this stage, all of Jerusalem to see if you have eyes to see and hear if you have ears to hear. This is the beginning of the journey that will have eternal significance. So at last the king has arrived. Yes, he has. Yes, he did. The prophecy was fulfilled. The crowd's expectations may not be met over the next coming days. But that doesn't mean that the next few days are without significance. A saviour with a silent agenda who quietly goes to the cross. For all those people who gathered then, and for us who gather now. Prophecy fulfilled. A crowd who gathered. What a saviour.